Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stamos.
Good afternoon. I'm Chris Stamos, the host of Voices of Women on Transformation Talk Radio. Well, this week I'm excited. We're going to be talking about feminism and a word that often brings up controversy. I started thinking why there's so much reaction about this word, even amongst women, why we shy away from using it. And I still see people who call themselves feminists will say because they want to include everybody, they won't use the word. Recently, I wrote an interview with somebody who was a feminist, and she said, "We only want equality. What's wrong with that?" So that made me think about the word, and I wrote an article for another magazine on this topic and started thinking about how we're moving into a new paradigm of feminism, one with a much more rich spiritual base that probably had its roots way back earlier, but I think it's coming out now. And part of the backlash to the word feminist comes from the anger that was so expressed back in the 60s. Women were fighting for equality. And then that was perceived as anti-male. I find it odd that when we speak of promoting women, it can be taken as anti-male. And I've had that said to me, which is definitely not. It's about being powerful women and powerful men. So we need to appreciate the groundwork these women did, paving the way. And even now in the younger generations, I think older women are saying it's being taken for granted. And some days I wonder how much women have really gained in the past 40, 50 years. Statistics say women are still earning only 70, 80% of what men do. And the numbers of women represented in government and corporations are low, very low, lower than European countries. So I'd like to reclaim the word feminism for the equality of all voices and contributions in our society. It's time, and I can see it in our future world, a world that is fluid, dynamic, and understands the value of the feminine way of being, which honors feelings, intuition, process, relationships, and so much more. And so let's not shy away from that term. Let's transform it to work for us, for women to change the world. And today I'm pleased to have my friend Vajra Ma as my guest. And I discovered that she wanted to discuss this same topic. So talk about synchronicity. And that's another thing that women, I think, and men, but particularly women, I find we have that go into those synchronicities. So it's exciting. Vajra Ma has taught women spirituality for decades and developed training programs in her Women's Mysteries of the Ancient Future Sisterhood. She originated the Tantric Dance of Feminine Power and wrote a workbook for that. And her newest book is From a Hidden Stream, The Natural Spiritual Authority of Women. According to Vajra Ma, there's a fourth wave of feminism, which is fully embodied spirituality, giving rise to a newly restored societal fabric. She states this is our only hope as it is giving rise to more than a grassroots revolution. It's a womb roots evolution. And Vajra Ma maintains that fully embodied spirituality has the potential to forge global solidarity amongst women, to bridge ethnic divisions and divisions between so-called first and third worlds, to establish a bridge that not only includes but celebrates cultural, religious, and political diversity. This is a bridge and solidarity we need in order to restore sanity and justice to the world. And Vajra is giving a workshop in Seattle this Sunday, I want everybody to know about. If you're in the Pacific Northwest, it's her Tantric Dance of Feminine Power, and you can contact her. We'll give her information out a little later. To register, she's going to give listeners a special price of $95. So if you contact her and mention you heard about it on the radio, you're going to get a great deal. And you can visit her website at www.greatgoddess.org. Well, welcome, Vajra, to Voices of Women.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be here. Very exciting.
Yes. Well, I went to Wikipedia and was looking up the word feminism, and it's kind of education to me, too. I was surprised to see all the variations of the word, and it made me think, no wonder even women are fractured in this women's movement. There's so many opinions and definitions of what feminism is or should be, and it may account for some of that anxiety around the word. So let's talk first about the first three main movements or waves of feminism that came about and what the history of those are.
Okay, and this is very much modern day oriented because, you know, the resistance to patriarchal male domination has been going on for centuries. But the first wave that we talk about is getting the vote. That's the suffragettes and fighting for the vote and basic, political power in that base of the vote and being able to own property too. And the second wave, happened around the 60s. With the 60s revolution, and that was more political advances, very politically oriented movement. There you have people like Gloria Steinem and Betty Friedan, The Feminine Mystique, the book that kind of sparked it all off, and fighting for rights to our bodies in terms of abortion, being able to have abortion, and equal pay for equal work, etc., all of that, which we still don't have, as you mentioned in your introduction. And then the third wave started around in the 80s when there was a critique of younger women, 20s and 30s, criticizing the second wave for being a bit myopic in its view, a bit real slanted by white middle-class women's views, and not as inclusive enough of racial diversity and cultural diversity, and that the needs of women in other countries other than the United States or maybe European countries, but some of the more so-called third world countries, had different needs and more basic needs. So there was a desire for there to be more inclusion and greater variety of perspectives. And basically that's what, and also there's an aspect of the third wave, which is the girly punk sort of we do what we want, we wear our makeup, our stiletto heels, and you know, so there's sort of a taking back the idea that a feminist shouldn't wear makeup or be girly or into fashion and that sort of thing. There's that aspect to it too.
Yeah, I read about that.
Uh-huh.
So, I was just going to add, I read about that third wave feminism. There's internal debates and differences between the feminists. Some who believe that there are important differences between the sexes, and then there's those that believe there's no inherent differences and contend that gender roles are due to social conditioning. And I know there's been a lot written about that and different perspectives
about that. Yeah, thank you. That's something I left out. That's very important. The whole gender fluidity and the queer nation and all of that needs to be inclusive, the transgender, etc. And the idea that the third wave criticized the second wave of feminism for being essentialist, you know, that men are men and women are women, and there's a big difference. And, well, I think there is. But they would probably... people could criticize me for being essentialist, but I don't think essentialism's gotten a bad rap because, and you mentioned the word equality. You know, what's wrong with wanting to be equal? My husband is very adamant about this. He says there is no equality. Men are not equal to women. Now, let's go back a minute and say, you know, that doesn't mean that any human being is of less worth than any other. It's not about worth or value. But women have powers that men do not have. We give birth, and we are wired to produce life. We are wired to sustain life. Our brains are wired differently. We all, pretty much everybody knows the research of that. Well, women's brains work more holistically. Both hemispheres are active at the same time as they listen to somebody. That was very famous research recently, the last decade. And so women have a less of a tendency, especially collectively, when we get together, to compartmentalize. We think and function holistically. And there's a kind of a natural roundness to woman. It's wired into the body and the brain. There's an inclusiveness. And if you go back historically and you look at matriarchies, cultures that were led predominantly by women, they were inclusive of the male. They were egalitarian. And yet there was a recognition of the extra female powers. There's a tremendous respect for the power to bear life. and for the natural wisdom that came through women who are wired to do that. And so that's what I'm talking about, where there's a potential, if you really recognize that, the non-equality of men and women, you might say, the extra powers that women have that I just spoke about. If there was real reverence and respect for that, instead of an attempt to dominate it and control it, as we have in patriarchal religion, then we would have a chance for unity, because women want inclusion. We don't want to separate our male children away from our female children and favor the female children. That's not natural. That's culture, enculturated, if it is at all. And as we know in patriarchy, it's the daughter who gets demoted, and the son gets preeminence. That's not natural to women either way. So, Well, go ahead.
I think we're going the same place. Like, how does that differ? And we'll just start this topic and go into it after the break too. The fourth wave, you know, how does that differ from all these other movements that you've mentioned? What's the fourth wave moving into?
Right. Well, you know, nobody really knows. And so, like you said, you were talking about maybe the feminist movement being fractured. I kind of see it as having rich diversity. That's also a strength. It can be a weakness, but it can also be a strength. So we don't really know what the fourth wave is. Everybody's kind of waiting for it, right? You know, or wants to name it or know what it is. And I'm supposing that what it really is coming back to the body. And coming back, and that means you come back also to the particular female powers, what's encoded in the female body, and the benefits of that, and the benefits of women working collectively from that base. And embodied, I also believe that the feminist spirituality, which has been cooking underground since the 60s, and it's really had, it's a bit a large wave. That's how I came into feminism, was through feminist spirituality. I think that is the real fourth wave. And I think that the real core of that wave is embodied spirituality. That's natural to women. That gets into menses, and the women's mysteries, and the origins of human spirituality.
Okay, well, we'll get more into that. We got to take a break now. I'm talking to Vajrama about feminine power and the word feminist, and come back and join us soon.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hi, I'm Paul Bland. Did you know there is only one truly perfect food protein produced by nature? It can bring dramatic results to your health, your appearance, and overall performance. Introducing Action Whey. No other protein supplement on the market has been able to achieve the incredible health benefits of Action Whey while still achieving a taste that is better than a malt shop shake. Action Whey, for the way nature intended. Visit seaandearth.com. That's seaandearth.com for more information.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Gloria Messenger is a spiritual artist and angel messenger. Her life mission is to celebrate the joy of angel love and deliver your personal message. She helps others open to their angel connection. Gloria's angel portraits offer empowering daily inspiration. To commission your angel portrait, call 905-468-5529. That's 905-468-5529. Or visit www.theangelmessenger.com.
Bambusa Bamboo Products saves trees and reduces waste by providing a new material for bathroom tissue and baby wipes. Bambusa Bamboo Products offers the only tree-free 100% bamboo bathroom tissue and award-winning baby wipes made from ultra-soft bamboo-derived fibers. Using material from renewable bamboo is the ideal alternative for toilet paper and wet wipes. Call 866-996-2867 or visit bambusa.com.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker, Sue London. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Well, that was Lorraine Bays, who sings Pray Like a Woman on our Woman of Wisdom CD. You can check that out at our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. And what an appropriate song for our talk today. So we're talking about feminism and the fourth wave of Vajra, you've said we don't even know what it is, which is kind of like we're diving into the unknown. But part of me thinks we do know. It's just so hidden and deep within us. But for you, what was your journey to get to this place of feminine spirituality?
Well, I actually came to feminism through feminist spirituality because I wasn't really a feminist before that. I had been a Mormon for many years, and I left the Mormon church. And I discovered the goddess path, and, of course, the goddess is the female image of the divine, is the base for feminist spirituality. And I came across a moving meditation practice a woman was teaching, or she was experimenting with moving meditation from the body, and she was it was in the context of the goddess. And that really drew me in. And as I started to read feminist literature, feminist spirituality literature, I found that I was a very strong feminist. I read The Budapest and Merlin Stone, When God Was a Woman, and Shekinah Mountain Water is another foremother of the feminist spirituality back in the late 60s and early 70s. And that gave me a whole template for the real ground of feminism, which is that woman is the source. Woman was always the source. Woman is the source of humanity. Woman is, as Amachi, the hugging saint of India, says, and everybody loves her, and they don't realize what a feminist she really is. She says, woman is the first guru of humanity. When we hold the baby in our arms, we are the first teacher. And we created culture, and we founded agriculture, and we created art. And we create, probably invented yoga, as Vicki Noble says in her books and in her article specifically on that. Women are the source and the source of spirituality. Human spirituality originated out of the female body, out of women's capacity to cycle with the moon in this awesome power to be able to bleed and not die. You know, get rid of all of our burying of this and our trivialization of this and our hiding of this and look at it from the reality of that. Wipe away the modern view of it and get down to the reality of how awesome it is that women bleed every month and do not die, and then they swell up like the moon, and they bleed in sync with the moon cycle. basically. And that brought our attention to the cosmos and to the cyclic nature of reality and the earth, the seasons, the moon, the cosmos, all connected with woman's body and this awesome power to give birth and then to sustain life from our bodies. This is like, what is more spiritual than creating life, giving birth? And yet you don't find birth as a sacrament in any of the seven sacraments of the Catholic Church. I mean, think about that. You know, what should be a sacrament? What more should be a sacrament than giving birth? That's the disenfranchisement that we've experienced in modern civilization, women being cut off from their own source of power. Because this capacity to bleed every month and go into menses is not just a physical power to give birth, but it's a psychic power. Women used to come together in moon lodges, in they would, you know, you live together even today. If you live in a dormitory together, you tend to bleed together and cycle together as women. They would come together, and by their own choice, not in the Jewish idea of she's unclean, she's got to be separated out. That came later with patriarchal domination. But women would come together and had this enormous psychic power and capacity to bring through wisdom. Our need to dream is increased, and our capacity for inspiring dreams coming to us is greater when we're bleeding. And so all of that was a basis for women bringing through wisdom and guidance for the people at large. And it all goes back to the female body.
Well, that's interesting. So that's what you're talking about. This is what you're talking about, then, when you say embodied spirituality, that's what you mean.
That's part of what I mean. That is the origins of it, those women's mysteries and the bleeding and the giving birth, etc. And then also, if you just look, most people understand that early humanity, the spirituality and those people who have not been cut off from it in modern civilization, the spirituality is based in dance, it's expressed in dance and movement and chanting and song and drumming and music, and we still have vestiges of that, of course, in churches and that sort of thing, but to the not to the extent that it was, where it really moved the body. So the original expression of spirituality, it was never divided from these from dance and song, and just as art originally was not separated from a spiritual expression. It wasn't something put up in museums or galleries. It was an expression of our relationship with the world around us, with the earth, with the cosmos, with our food, with the animals that we depended upon and the plants we depend upon. And there was an understanding of us being in relationship. I mean, basically that's what spirituality is an answer to the questions of religion, is an answer to the questions of what are we? What are we doing here? What is our relationship to everything that's around us? What is our relationship to the cosmos and to each other? And in the course of patriarchal religion, you have the body is bad. The body is evil. We must transcend it. It's sinful. And women are the source of that. Of course we are. We're giving birth to the bodies. And women are alluring and beautiful, so they are evil because the body is bad. That natural shakti, you know, the actual radiance of women, the natural beauty of women. I mean, a beautiful woman is awesome, and all women who are joyful are beautiful in my eyes. So, you know, the natural beauty of woman, all that's bad, and we must transcend into spirit, and we have dominion over the earth, according to the Bible, and Islam is the same kind of thing. You know, we have dominion over the earth, and we use the animals. God gave them to us, and there's all this separation. You know, the basic core of patriarchy is separation. Separation, we are superior and separate from the earth. God is separate and superior to us. Man is superior to woman and must dominate her and control her, and she must submit to him. And woman, woman's bleeding is, you know, something to be hidden. It's unclean. All of that is separation. And our bodies know the connection with nature. Our bodies know what is beautiful. You know, our bodies respond to beauty. Our bodies are naturally connected. And the womb, this is like my main thing, that what can unify us as humanity is go back to that original reverence for the female body and the power of the womb to create life. And the experience, I see it as a woman's experience of her own womb knows no racial divide or cultural divide or religious divide. Giving birth is giving birth. And what I've found in working with women in circles for 25 years is that when we are in the womb and are in our bodies and in our instinctual knowing and in our hearts, we have no division. The experience, the womb is not black, white, red, green, or brown. And woman's experience is unified. The embodied spirituality of song and dance and reverence for life, and particularly the subtle energy work that I do with women's bodies and the womb, has the capacity to unify us at that primal, natural, underlying reality that does not know separation, but knows relationship and interaction. And I think that go ahead.
No, continue your thought.
I was just going to say that that is what has the potential to unify us as humanity, bring us back to our roots, to our real source.
Yeah, I was just going to say I like that. When you feel that sacred moments is when you are doing something that's very creative, whether it's singing or art or dancing, and it is that embodiment of it. And I really like what you're saying about separation, because I think that really does cause a lot of the problems that we are in now. If we could just come together to even just communicate and hear everybody's voices instead of always making people be other. So, I don't like them. They're not like me. And we judge them rather than hearing what do they have to give to this picture. I remember we're having Noemi Tutu at our conference in February, and I heard her speak in San Francisco, and she called this the other in talking about racism and how we all do the other. And that's that same thing, that separation. And it's that, I think stems from fear. But when we look at when we put other people in that category of they're other than us, they're different, and you're judging. And and that's a patriarchal, what you described, that's also a patriarchal model of existence versus celebrating each other. And I always see that as the commonality. Woman wisdom is our spirit. We're women, which is women in our bodies, and we have a spirit. Well, we're going to continue this fascinating conversation when we come back after our break.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Gloria Messenger is a spiritual artist and angel messenger. Her life mission is to celebrate the joy of angel love and deliver your personal message. She helps others open to their angel connection. Gloria's angel portraits offer empowering daily inspiration. To commission your angel portrait, call 905-468-5529. That's 905-468-5529. Or visit www.theangelmessenger.com.
Is Egypt calling you? Are you dreaming of taking a spiritual pilgrimage to one of the most magical destinations on the planet? Being in Egypt immerses you in the realm of infinite possibilities. The veils are thinner, your connection to your full potential more accessible, and your heart opens more easily. Picture yourself meditating inside the Great Pyramid, exploring the sacred temples in exclusive visits, and cruising down the Nile on a luxurious sailing yacht. If you're interested in travel that transforms and rejuvenates you, join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman, author of The Temples of Light, for a spiritual and healing journey to Egypt this November. Call for more information, 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit EgyptIsCalling.com. That's EgyptIsCalling.com.
So welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and I'm talking today with Vajra Mom. Vajra, can you give your contact information for our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. My website is www.greatgoddess.org. That should be easy to remember, greatgoddess.org. It doesn't refer to me. It refers to the Great Goddess. And my phone number is 541-292-6310. That's 541-292-6310, and my email is vajrama@greatgoddess.org, and that's V as in victory, A, J as in judge, R-A-M-A, Vajrama. So.
Great. And yeah, you can sign up, you can get this discount, which is a good discount, for her workshop on Sunday for $95 by calling her or go to her website and get her email. If you don't remember her phone number and email right now, just go to greatgoddess.com. So
greatgoddess.org.
Oh, sorry. You are greatgoddess.org.
Yeah. Okay.
Got it. Yeah. There could be a .com out there. You never know. We were talking about embodied spirituality and the changes in the new wave of feminism and all this. But it makes me think, because the first wave that you mentioned and the first and second wave was very political. So how is in this embodied spirituality going to give rise to a new politics?
I think that, well, first of all, spirituality determines politics, ultimately. Spirituality gives rise to our institutions. You know, the spiritual values give rise to the values that are played out in the culture, in the institutions and family structure. We see it in patriarchal religion. We are in nuclear families. We're separated from each other. We're not villages anymore. There's a real dearth of community that we have to create our own community. That way you can see how the spiritual values have affected the societal structure and the laws and then, of course, the politics. And, of course, we see it playing out big time with the what's going on between the Republicans and Democrats right now with our country, the United States here. But spirituality trumps politics. First of all, it determines what the ultimate politics are going to be, and it trumps it. And by that I mean, I want to give an example of what happened in Liberia. We talked about this last time I was on your show. I talked about, and it's in my book, The Natural Spiritual Authority of Woman, what the women in Liberia did in their mass action for peace. They essentially ended a brutal, long civil war run by the warlord Charles Taylor. And they got, it took them 3 years, they protested, yes, they got out protesting, saying they wanted peace. They danced and chanted. It started with a dream that a Methodist African woman had, Lema Bowie, and she thought it was a silly dream. You know, she was told to get the women together to chant and pray for peace. And she thought, well, what good is that going to do? This war is so brutal. But she did it. The women liked the idea. And they said, you're going to lead it. So she did. And she gathered the women in the marketplace, the open-air marketplace, and they chanted and sang for peace. Now, chanting and singing and dancing, these are the ancient techniques of shamanic and embodied spirituality. And I think it's what got them through the whole process of protesting and asking for peace. It gave them the lasting power. We saw that also in the Civil Rights Movement, again, thanks to African heritage, the Civil Rights Movement here in the United States, when they would chant and they would sing, you know, and we shall overcome. But this is such an important spiritual nourishment to people to move through the political morass and change things at the political level. Now, what the women in Liberia did, they said, if you see the marvelous documentary on it, Pray the Devil Back to Hell, you'll see that they said specifically, we made a point of not being political. We did not criticize Charles Taylor. We didn't move through political arenas. We just asked for peace. And they said that they did it for the children. Because as mothers, they could not stand to see the children being brutalized the way they were and growing up in this civil war. And the marvelous thing about it, Chris, was that, and this is where the potential for unity comes, global solidarity amongst women. The Christian women joined with the Muslim women. Even though they had misgivings about it, they thought, am I betraying my religion if I join with the other, you know, women? But the drive of motherhood, and the power of the womb and woman's life-giving power and our instinct to protect life as a collective and as individuals, as women, that was so strong they crossed over the religious divide and they unified. And they accomplished this incredible task. People should see that documentary, Pray the Devil Back to Hell. It's tremendously inspiring and there's a tremendous amount of wisdom in there. And it's in that, so their spirituality trumped politics. Charles Taylor was exiled, and they managed to elect a new president, the first female president of Liberia, Ellen Sirleaf Johnson. And so, but they did it through spiritual means, not through the political machine, and not through political criticism. Yes, they were out there protesting, but their base was spiritual. And in that sense, spirituality trumps. And I really believe that our only hope in this, you know, in the global mess that we're in, is to come back to this basic spirituality, which is protecting life, being, you know, taking care of life in terms of nature, the resources, the water, the earth, all of that, and our children, doing this for the children, and coming together in the power of motherhood, which is sourced from the female body, which is a base for action and for changing, for creating a new politics and a new social fabric. We need to come back to source. What we have today is that the structures of society are based on the male myth of giving birth. You have a male god in Christianity. You have a male god who created a male body out of dust and then created a female body out of the male body. Is there anything more ridiculous or upside down and backwards and inside out than that?
That's our mythology that we're living on now.
Exactly, and it has affected every institution, our education, our family structure, our politics, how we treat the earth, how we treat women and children, everything. So it's like we have to go back to the actual myth that we're living by. And we can unify around a myth of, you know, nurturing life is good. That women have a wisdom. Women have a wisdom collectively, especially, that has a different way of approaching how we live than what we've seen in the male collective consciousness that's been cut off. So that's why I say I really feel like it's our only hope. And this embodied spirituality is part and parcel of it. It's really the core of it.
Yeah, well, it's taking, and it's beyond religions, because you say, you know, the Christian woman and the Muslim woman came together in Liberia. It has to go to more deeper commonality and roots, which is spiritually based, but it doesn't go into the different religions which shows, which
right.
focuses on the differences versus what do we have in common and what do we value. It goes down to the, you know, if you probably took every religion and you wrote the values, they would be the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately. But we got to get back to what that real core is, what that real essence of the religions and the impulse for religion was, beyond the dogma, mm-hmm. beyond the rule. Yeah, absolutely. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah, and you made a statement that I want to talk about. You said the fourth wave of feminism, the fusion of political and spiritual values, and you say that's too safe and tries not to rock the boat. So I'm just curious, why do you say that's too safe?
Two-faced?
Too safe.
S-A-F. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's too safe. It doesn't try to rock the boat. Because it doesn't go to the core of what the, it doesn't go to what the source of original spirituality was, which is the female body and the female collective. And
so,
that, that is the crux, that it's, that the spirituality is based in the female, and it needs to be said, it needs to be understood, it needs to be recognized in order to get rid of this demonization of the human body and particularly the female body. That is the real separation, is to demonize the body.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious in all this, because probably have male listeners, or because you were talking about the woman's body and the source, and we give birth, and where does that leave the male in your mind, and what role do they play?
Well, they come from woman. They should love her and adore her and support her, support women. Support, because you're supporting a woman, you're supporting all of humanity. It's not that they're enslaved to women in a domination kind of thing, but it comes out of, there is innately, as men will feel into it, there's a basic awe of woman. And women, I have an awe of women. I have an awe of what we are. I have an awe of nature. We can all unify in that awe of the power of life. And it is encoded in woman's body. So it doesn't diminish any of us, male or female, especially male, to revere that and respect that and support that. And also, a Zulu healer, Kredo Mutwa, talks about mother mind. And that men can participate in what is natural, very natural to women, this mother mind, this mother quality, this inclusiveness, this nurturing and protecting of life, which is instinctive. They participate by mother mind, by feeling, you know, really feeling what's happening around us, feeling what we're doing to the earth. It all comes back down to feeling. Not just thinking and separating ourselves and up in our minds in some transcendent idea that we're going to transcend this and overcome the evil body and the evil world, but to really feel. That opens up intelligence that's innate in men also.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
okay.
Men have a body. You know, we're all embodied.
Yeah, so they need to brace that too. So we're going to need to take a break. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women. When we come back, we'll return and talk more with Vajra Ma.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented Vacupractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their Vacupractors.
The Vacupractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust and not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my Vacupractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the Vacupractor a try.
Vacupractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95. And you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The Vacupractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
Is Egypt calling you? Are you dreaming of taking a spiritual pilgrimage to one of the most magical destinations on the planet? Being in Egypt immerses you in the realm of infinite possibilities. The veils are thinner, your connection to your full potential more accessible, and your heart opens more easily. Picture yourself meditating inside the Great Pyramid, exploring the sacred temples in exclusive visits, and cruising down the Nile on a luxurious sailing yacht. If you're interested in travel that transforms and rejuvenates you, join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman, author of The Temples of Light, for a spiritual and healing journey to Egypt this November. Call for more information, 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit EgyptIsCalling.com. That's EgyptIsCalling.com.
Are you ready to fast forward your healing and personal transformation? Would you like to learn state-of-the-art techniques to easily balance your energy and quiet your mind? The Healing into Consciousness 8-week online course will give you weekly personal guidance with medical intuitive and internationally acclaimed master healer Eliza Mata Dalian. Learn how to heal your pain, fear, anxiety, or illness. Register for the May 22nd course at healingintoconsciousness.com. That's healingintoconsciousness.com.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister of light, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women. And that was Lorraine Bay singing the Woman of Wisdom song. Again, another one of our fabulous songs on the Woman of Wisdom CD. So I'm talking to Vajra Ma. Vajra, can you give your contact information again so people can find you?
Absolutely. My website is www.greatgoddess.org, greatgoddess.org. And my phone number is 541-292-5310, 541-292-5310, and my email is vajramah@greatgoddess.org, and that's spelled with a V as in victory, A, J as in judge, R-A-M-A, vajramah@greatgoddess.org.
Great. And again, remind people, contact her if you're interested in going to her Tantric Dance of Feminine Power workshop on Sunday, which this Sunday, September 18th.
Sunday.
So
it's from noon to six in Seattle, and it's for women only this time. I do have classes for men sometimes, as interest shows itself, because it's also a practice that men can do.
Well, great. Well, we've been talking about this embodiment of spirituality, and that really leads into that whole what you do, that tantric dance of feminine power. And I've done your workshop, and it really does, it gets you in touch with your womb, really. And you're, it's like we're moving from our womb. So you can you tell us more about that? What is that work that you developed here?
Yeah, it is a spontaneous moving meditation. It is like a body prayer. And it's what distinguishes it from a lot of the other movement work that's going on out there, spiritual movement work, is that it is really based in the subtle energies of the body. And if people haven't had an experience with that, I guess the easiest way to get a sense of common ground is when you feel an emotion, let's say somebody hugs you and you feel a warmth flush through your body, that's a subtle energy. That's the kind of energy that we're working with and cultivating. And when you start going down into the womb, when you really start to connect with the womb, there's an intelligence there that begins to flood through the body. And you can cultivate that subtle body connection with the womb. It changes everything. It just changes everything. And when I work with men, I got this from my husband. I worked with men before I met my husband, and I taught the tantric dance to men. But he said, don't tell them to imagine they have a womb. Tell them to go to their womb. And either way, it really affects a man's experience of his body. The men told me it was like to imagine that they have an inner cave, a receptive vessel inside of them, changes everything, you know, from having a lingam or a penis that's moving out. And so it is a practice that men can do. I don't want to disenfranchise women from, you know, men have a womb, but if they, I tell them to imagine. But because having a womb is quite an advantage. It really is an energy that you can act in the body.
I've been talking to some.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just remembering having some interviews with people who they're talking about our feminine wisdom, you know, that's been up in our head, it's going to our heart, that's now it's going down to the womb. So it's kind of like we're moving in this direction of recognizing that power in our womb.
Right. And this is what we've been talking about with embodied spirituality, is that is the source. That is the source. And we know that in transplants that have been done with people, people get somebody else's heart or they get somebody else's liver. They get someone's liver who doesn't like beer, right? You know, and that's something they don't like beer. Or they get somebody's heart who was a good dancer and suddenly they have a sense of rhythm they didn't have. There's really an intelligence encoded in each organ of the body and in each individual person's organ. And they found in transplants it affects people. So think about the intelligence that is encoded in the womb. The power to create life. It's awesome. So it does change everything. And what we do in the tantric dance is we go into a real surrender to pleasure. Not some made up pleasure, but real simple pleasure of feeling the breath, feeling the body move, feeling the wave pattern through the body, because the wave pattern is the underlying pattern of creation. That's why the serpent was such an epiphany of the goddess. The underlying, you know, the oceans of the waves of the ocean, the sound waves, light waves, things move in waves. And when you start letting the body undulate and move in waves, while you're feeling this pleasure, just the pleasure of moving, it is a doorway into waking up the encoded spiritual intelligence of the body. So the basic tenet of Tantra is that the whole the body is a microcosm of the macrocosm of the cosmos. And it really is. And when you get into that deep pleasure, which is a gift from the Divine Mother, the body starts to wake up in the sense of underlying bliss. The underlying reality starts to present itself through the body, which is love, which is creativity, which is joy. And that's basically what the meditation is about. And it's a lifetime of cultivation because it's like making love. You know, it's never the same. So it has many different colors. It can be very tender. The dance can be tender or it can be fierce and full of wrath. And you have direct experiences of the qualities of the goddess that you see encoded in iconography and in images. The wrathful aspects of the goddess, her power to destroy the demons, our inner demons, her compassionate qualities and her erotic qualities. And they're all creative. They're all in the service of life. So this is a practice that, and it, your body actually vibrates at a higher frequency during this practice. The whole point is to be able to absorb the energies. So you move into higher and higher frequencies. The chakras are literally spinning faster. And you open up, you have this interdimensional. You're at a higher frequency, just like sound is a lower frequency than light. Light is at a higher frequency, right? You get into that, the spiritual dimensions when you can vibrate at a high frequency and feel that divine love.
Well, that's amazing. I know I've experienced it. I encourage people to check it out. Thank you, Vajra. It was great to talk to you today and share your wisdom of the, of being a spiritual feminist and, doing your part to change the world.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you for having me be here. I've thoroughly enjoyed it and appreciate it.
Okay, so I want to leave everyone with this thought today. So what do you think of when you hear the word feminism and when you read about a feminist? What does it trigger in you? And see if it's really true. What are the feelings that come up? And how can you transform the word to be a powerful, transformative term that will allow women to step into their power? This is Chris Danis. I'm glad to have shared this hour with you on Voices of Women, and you can contact me at Wow, W-O-W, at womenofwisdom.org. I'm the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women, which is a compilation of many voices of the divine feminine. You can purchase the book at www.womenofwisdom.org. So thank you. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.